KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joan. With me is...
Not Caleb.
No, that is not Caleb.
It is Jason.
That is right. It is the two of us. We are here to entertain you. Caleb is off on his own adventure doing something exciting and new, and we wish him luck, and we'll see him back next week, and he'll fill in all the details because we'll... You know, we'll give them the old 20 questions.
Exactly.
Where were you? We'll get a spotlight.
Maybe 19 questions. 20.
Okay, maybe. We'll see. I guess how many it takes.
It's true.
Maybe it'll be less. Maybe even more. But we'll get a spotlight on him. You know, it won't really be.
We'll see how much we can make him sweat.
Yeah. Which it'll be more for us since the radio people can't see the spotlight.
I think they can hear it in tone, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
They can feel that light.
Okay.
Shining on him.
Mm.
Squeezing the truth out of him.
Oh, man. Well, I can't wait. Yeah. I'm excited now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good times.
Squeezing the truth from Caleb.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, if you're unfamiliar with our show, we are a Geek Center Talk Show. We talk about tech, movies, comic books, video games, all that sort of stuff.
Caleb usually says space.
Right, yes, here. That's true. That's right. We need like a sound clip of him. Space.
Right.
Space. DARPA. Space. 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 DARPA. DARPA. Space.
In space.
Yeah. Interesting. Space, space. Interesting. Space, space, space.
We'll make a little techno out of it.
Yeah. It's like you were never gone, Caleb.
Exactly. You were doing songs and music and everything.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you guys know how much I do on this show. You can't replace me with just a soundboard. It's true.
It is very true.
Yes. Yeah. He does a lot.
But
because
occasionally it's fun to try. You know.
We try.
Yeah.
We will try tonight to make it as entertaining as it normally is when Caleb is here.
That's right.
So, how have you been, Jason, since last we spoke on the radio waves?
Yeah, I've been pretty decent, I believe.
Okay, that's good.
I've been still kind of sticking with mostly... catching up with video type stuff instead of video games per se.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, the biggest thing was I thought it was a big priority to catch up on Walking Dead since that was coming up just yesterday, and so.
Oh right.
Yeah, and I tried out something brand new and kind of scary in order to see the first episode. And that was, I did a trial subscription of Sling on the Xbox and on the smartphones.
Oh, okay.
And it actually works really good. It's like a really pretty picture and everything. I was pretty happy with it.
Oh, nice.
But it threw me off because this isn't spoilers or anything, but they had kind of a mechanic going in the show where they had flashbacks, and the flashbacks were in black and white.
Oh,
and
okay.
For a decent chunk of it, I was thrown off. It's like, there's something wrong with this thing? Do I need to reboot it? Why is it showing black and white?
What's going on?
Until I caught on.
Okay.
But yeah, it was much fun to catch up on all of that. I haven't had my zombie fix for a long time, so it worked out quite well.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I still need to watch that the first episode of the
uh-huh.
new season.
Did you watch all of or any of the other series at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
like
finished
it
off. Yeah.
Okay.
I
got about
one.
Halfway through that one, and I've been trying to figure out how I'm gonna see the rest of it.
Oh, okay. So
I don't really want to purchase the episodes. I know that seems stingy when it's something I enjoy. But
does the Sling thing allow you to watch, like, on-demand, quote-unquote, stuff?
Or? Not that I can tell. It's pretty much just live TV experience. But it had way more channels than I expected, because I'd understood that it was really limited, and it has a pretty wide array of things that I was not expecting, including a nice little news fix, so I can catch up on CNN when I need it.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Okay.
That's pretty nice.
Cool, cool.
I feel like I've been missing out on actual news for like a long time. I've been getting it almost purely off of John Oliver.
Oh, okay.
And The Daily Show. And so, yeah. It's not bad that way. It's funny that way. But
yeah.
It's probably not the best thing to do either.
you'll probably just get like kind of little chunks of stuff.
That's true.
You know, that they focus on. Especially John Oliver usually kind of focuses on like one or two things that kind of tie together.
Yeah, he definitely pulls out the microscope, which is half the fun of that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think they'd be able to create as fun of a show off of getting so serious about any given topic, but
yeah.
He does a really good job.
Yeah, like I recently watched one like North Dakota.
Yeah, I just watched that one today.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's the other side, too, is that him throwing so much of the stuff onto YouTube has been absolutely golden. And I don't know why people don't do that more often, because, I mean, if they get the hits, they're going to be raking in the money anyway. So it doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know.
Fear of change, I guess.
Yeah, I think slowly getting that idea, finally.
Thank goodness John Oliver is not afraid of change.
Yeah.
Well, he's afraid of some changes, but anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, you can see, too, just the change of even, like, the Late Show, Show and Tonight Show. Like, the, you know, I don't want to say original, but, you know, your Lenos and your Lettermans were, like,
yeah,
just they didn't know want to tap into that, like,
yeah.
new kind of internet thing.
Yeah, it
so.
Would be interesting to get a peek behind the curtain and get some conversations with them about if they were actually afraid of trying new things as far as that goes, or if they just felt like it wasn't their format, or what. But yeah, there was definitely some sort of uncomfort level there that changed about the time that Conan O'Brien started up his new show.
Yeah.
And then everybody was off the chain. Like Jimmy Kimmel's doing it like 30 times a day, and then the bigger shows started doing it. But yeah, thankfully it's been giving us tons of quality YouTube entertainment.
Yeah.
So what about you? What entertained you this last week?
I got to play. I played a little bit of the Battlefront beta.
Oh, okay. As did I. I should have mentioned that, but I didn't. So, what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Like, did you get to try every mode that was offered?
I did, and I even saved up and unlocked the ungodly giant machine gun, laser gun thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which was pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't think I tried that one. It's funny seeing, like, never noticing before, if you look at the weapons, how like they're like, oh, that's like a World War II gun, like,
right?
Oh, that's, you know, World War One, or like, you know, mix and match and
yeah,
stuff like that. And
especially that big gun, it pops up in so much stuff. I mean, it's the same gun they used as the smart gun in Aliens.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was just a big menacing gun. The Germans knew how to make a big menacing gun, and a lot of people stuck with it for movies for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was good, too, to, like, I mean, you know, this is kind of a tangent off of it, but it was good kind of taking those, like, weapons and just kind of, like, tweaking them a little bit, so it just
yeah.
It felt like that kind of on, like, they were actually real, you know, real guns, like don't have laser guns, but they were like, oh, it still looks kind of like it would actually be.
It lent a little bit of instant authenticity to
yeah.
it.
But yeah, going back to the game, like I tried, I guess in the beta, like the survival mode only went up to five, I think. Like there were different, like
it didn't go terrible far.
There were different difficulties. I don't know if they were unlocked, but I noticed like at least in the thing, it was like there were varying difficulties.
Yeah, I played through that once, and I don't know if it unlocked a new difficulty for me when I got through it.
Okay. But, yeah.
But that was, that map was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was really, it's funny, like one, my big surprise on the game, just in general, was that all of these maps would have been, in my view, like a really boring map on any other game, just because they're really, like, monochrome. There's only one color with, like, variations here and there.
Yeah.
And you'd think you'd just get visually bored of it very quickly, and it didn't happen for me. Like I was constantly intrigued by just little details, and every little nook and cranny of a rock looked absolutely perfect. So,
but Jason, it was only 720p on the beta.
I know.
I mean, oh, you're not allowed to like that in the beta.
I am officially not cool. I'm not down with the peas.
Oh man, beta peas.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, I love too that everybody is trying, they're actually doing the math for how many pixels it is that we're missing out on now. Like it was like, oh, well, you're missing out on thousands of pixels. It's like, okay. Yeah. It looked really pretty.
Yeah, and I'm having fun. So while you're off calculating those pixels that I'm missing, I'm going to keep playing this and having fun.
Right,
so
instead of buying a second video game system that none of my friends are on, that everybody I've heard about complains about, even though it's supposedly really pretty. So
yeah. But yeah, the survival mode was pretty cool. Like, I could see that being, like, I just played it solo. I don't know if you played it with anybody else.
Oh, the best part about that survival mode was the jump pack troopers, because I don't know if you managed to shoot any of them, like, when they were doing their little arc jump.
Oh, no.
Oh, the physics was so perfect on them, like, what? Oh, and like flying off into the distance. Oh, it was so good.
That's cool.
That was like easily my favorite part of the entire thing.
That's cool. Yeah, no.
Because they look all like mean, and it's like, oh, crud, I'm really up against somebody good here. He's got like the dual blasters and everything. I wonder who he's supposed to be like.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and once you actually get a good shot on him, it ends up being a whole different story. They lose their cool very quickly.
Let's see. And then I tried it's a drop zone?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. With escape the pods.
Yeah.
I don't know why they called them escape pods. That's what bugged me about it. Because, I mean, they're full of stuff.
Like, yeah.
Was the stuff escaping?
Yeah. I was kind of wondering that too. Like, I was like, well, I guess they are technically escape pods, but it was like the idea of a guard it, protect it, then you get the stuff in it. It's like
right,
it could have like just been like supply pods or like
something
drop pods or whatever. Like
that was one of the few weak points I felt like, but it doesn't really change the fun of the game,
like,
or anything like that.
Game is terrible now because of that, but
right.
But yeah, like and that one was fun. Like I played with Kane.
Okay.
I didn't play as Kane.
Right.
Our buddy Kane. We jumped into that first.
Okay.
When we played together, we did that and that was fun. I would say the only thing, like, for me, like, while I agree, like, the map, you know, the map was really pretty. Like, there were a lot of details. Like, Kane even mentioned one time, he was like, whoa, I saw this, like, monster go through, like, this hole and then into another rock, like, kind of thing. And, you know, if, like, you fall into the craters, there's, like, creatures in there sometimes and stuff that'll hurt you. And or just, like, the liquid or something, too. But yeah, like, that one, like, I got kind of bored with that map. Like, just after I kind of got, like, yeah, this is really cool and it definitely nails, you know, the Star Wars feel and everything like that. I was just kind of like,
yeah.
It's kind of like there's not a whole lot to this map. Like, you
Yeah, and I do wonder if that's going to be kind of the big, I don't know, the big failing of the game in general, is that once the glitz wears off, and I think it's going to probably stay pretty shiny to a lot of people for a long time, but
yeah.
But once you get over the fact that they did everything just right, that as far as making you feel like you're in Star Wars,
yeah,
that it kind of loses the game itself, it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, have enough to it. Yeah. And then we moved over to the Walker Assault
right.
mode.
Which side were you on?
We played both.
Okay.
Like, got a chance to try out both of them and stuff, so to kind of see. Because originally, I just kept hearing people saying, like, oh, man, the Imperials, like, that's the only side you'll ever win. Like, they just dominate and stuff. And
yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I've heard a lot of things back and forth on it, because I guess the Alpha, it was the opposite way around.
Oh, okay.
And everybody was complaining. It was like, man, Rebels win every time. Got to do something different here.
Yeah, so, yeah. The first game we jumped in, we were Rebels, and we actually won, so we were kind of surprised. We're like, oh, we won, I guess. And then when we flipped over to the other side, Imperial, like, we ended up winning again.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so we had a chance to win on both sides. And, like, that one, that mode was interesting because, like, I guess it'll also be kind of a question of how the game ends up playing as well. Is, like, that one really seems like you... Like, teamwork is going to be essential. Like, if nobody goes... Yeah,
and timing, too, it seems like.
Yeah.
Because you have to make sure and actually attack things when it's the right time to attack them and everything.
Yeah, because with Walker mode, just, you know, just in case you're not like, what the heck are you doing this? Like, if you're the Rebels, you have to go up to these, like, satellite things or something. I forget what the relays or something like
relays
that.
Relays or uplinks or something like that.
Something like that. And there's, like, two of them, and you got to, like... turn them on, and then you got to defend them.
Right.
And then, like,
long enough to call in support.
Yeah, that calls in, like, Y-wings or something that fly by, and, like, it's like you have to do it. I was trying to figure out exactly, like, what caused what, because there were certain points it was, like, Y-wings would come in, and then there were certain points where the AT-ATs would then become vulnerable, and that's... But I couldn't figure out, like, okay, was it... Because there's, like, a... There's, like, timers on the uplinks, like, they're, like, defend, and then there's, like, a meter, like, around the circle that kind of slowly, like, either fills or disappears.
Okay.
And then I noticed, like, up on top, it was, like, okay, when there's Y-wings up there, and then there's, like, these other little gauges, and then it has the health of the AT-ATs. So it was, like, do the uplinks have to fill in X number of times before then, like, the AT-ATs become vulnerable? Like, I couldn't figure out, like, what I knew, like, okay, I have to defend these uplinks, but I couldn't figure out, like, that if it was just a timing thing, or if it was, like, okay, after a certain point, like,
well,
it makes the
best I understand from the way it was explained to me on the internet. It's fairly simple. You just make sure that you grab those points when they become open to you.
Yeah.
And you just hold them as long as you possibly can. And then that allows you to dish out the extra damage that allows you to take out the walkers by the end of the entire run. So otherwise, it's almost impossible to do the damage you need in order to get it. And I think part of it, too, is not just, like... extra events that happen. I think it's that it unlocks more of those little spinny blue medallion things on the maps.
Oh, yeah.
That allows people to take control over the different vehicles and so on.
Yeah.
So you still need to have a little bit of luck on your side that the right person gets those and they can dish out some damage before they get shot down by the inevitable missile launcher or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I just noticed, like, even when you take the two uplinks, like, it's not just like, okay, we got those two, and then it, like, immediately that's when the AT-AT, like, becomes vulnerable. It's like you have to take both, and then there's some sort of time when then it becomes vulnerable to something. So that's what I was trying to kind of figure out, like, the the quote-unquote math of it, because it's like, okay, we'd have the two, and it would say, you know, defend, and it was like, okay, so, and then, yeah, it would open up, like, additional ones on the map, like, after a certain point of time also. I mean, I'm sure, like, if you played it enough, like, you'd get it. I just, you know, the few times that I played, I, between, like, trying to stay alive and, you know, trying to figure out, like, okay, I know I have to defend those, but, like, I wanted to figure out, like, okay, you know, the time,
yeah,
when it would call, because it would, they'd have the Y-wing symbols up, and they'd hear, like, oh, Y-wing's coming in, like, okay, because you couldn't get in those. I think it was just, like, X-wings you could get into, so.
Best I could tell,
if you were,
yeah,
on the Rebel side, obviously.
Yeah, the X-wings and the snowspeeders.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then it was funny seeing, like, Vader and Luke, you know, running around, too. Like,
yeah.
I know. Noticed,
yeah,
like,
I got sliced up by Luke way too many times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I got killed by him once, and then I think I avoided, I'm trying to think. Vader probably killed me at least once.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think I managed to take out Vader once, because he was running up on me and he had like half his health left because people were just kind of gunning at him.
Yeah.
But he still like blocks about half the shots and he can take, yeah, tons of damage, so it hardly matters. But he ran up to me and he tried to do like
the force choke
thing. And right as he was raising me off the ground, I managed to drop a proximity mine right in front of me.
Okay. Nice.
And so all I saw was an explosion. And when I looked around, when I respawned, he wasn't there anymore. So it was like,
I got maybe
it worked.
Yeah, it's what I noticed too, like when someone was Vader, when we were on the Imperial side, he'd have like an entourage would like roll with him.
Oh, okay.
So when people would... you know, of other players, not
right,
like AIs or anything like that. So, because everyone was like, okay, Vader's going to take, like, everyone's going to focus on him so we can, like, you know, hit everyone else while they're focused on Vader and stuff like that. But it was just kind of cool to see, like, you know, Vader with the cape flowing and then there's, like, four stormtroopers,
yeah,
you know, running behind him and stuff. Like,
yeah, I wish I would have seen more teams treated that way. That would have been really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see Luke terribly much, but I never noticed anybody doing that with Luke. Always noticed Luke because Luke is like really fast.
Oh yeah.
So I don't. That's probably not something you can do as well because he's always like jumping forward or.
Yeah, when I encountered Luke, I was just absolutely bottom of the barrel trooper. I had like no unlocks or anything like that.
Okay.
So it was like, I have no clue what to do. I can't even run because he's like the Flash basically.
Yeah.
It's like a blur of the green lightsaber light going across the map.
Yeah.
And it's funny seeing him from a distance because it's totally like the last of the new movies where they did those wide shots on the lava planet and you just see the lightsabers like kind of battling each other from a long distance. So it was just me seeing this green lightsaber with a little little block of black like attached to it. Just from, because that map too is really big. And so there's some points where you see things from real long distances. And so, yeah, especially encountering him at long distance, it was really funny.
Yeah.
But you're still afraid because you know he can bridge that gap in
like 10 seconds. It's Luke over there. You're either like, yes, there's Luke, or, oh no, there's Luke, run the other way. Like,
right.
Yeah, I'll ask you how you thought on the unlock system right after this PSA. Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near radio? Stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. Never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip is search for KSU, not 103.3 FM, because
numbers are fairly common, but a combination of letters is gold.
It's gold.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the unlock system, at first, when I saw it, like without playing it, it was like, oh, okay, you get these cards,
right?
And you know, you put them in your like kind of button slots essentially, and you,
yeah,
you know. And so I thought like, Oh, so is it going to have like packs? Kind of like a lot of games are starting to have now. They're introducing that. So I thought, I was like, oh, that should be cool. Like, I'm wondering, like,
yeah, that would be pretty.
Is that how they're going to do the? Because there were, it was disappointing but understandable. But there were a lot of things that weren't available in the beta, which was really sad. Like,
no,
none of the customization,
no visual customizations at all.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you could change out a few of the weapons here and there, but we'll get to that in a moment. But, but yeah, so I thought like, oh, is that how you're going to, you know, like you customize your guy or I shouldn't say guy, just character.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. But then it was just like, at least with the beta, it was just, well, you just leveled and then it unlocked, you know, you the opportunity to buy these things with credit. And it was like, they were cards, but they were just using it like a card to, you know, it was.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of halfway between what they did with Titanfall and what they're trying to do with Call of Duty.
I can see that.
Because it's sort of treating the cards as the new perk system. And like on Call of Duty, they started doing the point buy system. And effectively in this, you have a 3-point buy system, which is 3 card slots. And then Titanfall kind of had the same thing where you could carry a couple of cards with you, but that was much more random stuff. And that's where I can kind of see it being really exciting if they do have like weirder things that unlock over time.
Yeah.
There's no telling how much of it is just kind of the beta blues of not having all of the stuff or not.
And yeah.
That's going to be interesting to see when the new, like, fully polished game comes out.
Yeah, when the full version comes out.
But I have a feeling that it's probably going to be on the underwhelming side for a lot of people just because it's really difficult to compete with how much effort, especially Call of Duty, puts into that system at this point, because Call of Duty just goes whole hog on every single aspect of the game.
Yeah.
For like how your character moves, what he actually carries, and being able to change it from being more explosives oriented to being gun oriented, changing your gun around, just everything that you can imagine at this point, Call of Duty has.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of games aren't even going to try that because they know that Call of Duty has it nailed down so well.
Mm.
And so I think they were trying to do something a little bit more interesting by being sort of a hybrid of the Titanfall and Call of Duty, but I have a feeling it's not going to be a massive list of things other than the visual unlocks.
Mm.
I have a feeling that's going to be pretty big. But
yeah, I hope so. Because they have kind of a benefit in a sense of, like, for some games, sometimes it can be like difficult to tell who the bad guy is and who the good guy is. Like when, you know, on the teams, until you kind of play enough of it. And then it's like, oh, okay, well I can just, you know, when it shows the person's name or, oh, okay, that, you know, that's clearly on the opposing team or something. But like Star Wars, it's all like, you know, instantly
it's
like,
ingrained.
Okay,
at
that's
this
a bad
point
guy.
For
like,
a lot of
that's
people.
A stormtrooper, whether it's an actual, you know, stormtrooper, sand trooper, it's like, those are the bad guys. And like, if they're not in that kind of stuff, it's the rebels. Like, it's pretty easy.
Pretty
so,
much, yeah.
So I'm hoping they capitalize on that for customization. I mean, I know we've had mutual friends, and I've heard some others that are like, well, I hope there isn't like pink stormtroopers running around, or, you know, I hope they don't go too crazy. But I'm like, no, I want you to go crazy. As long as you still make it, you know, fit in the world, I'm fine with, like, you know, making your stormtrooper, making your rebel look as goofy or cool, however you want.
Right.
You know,
because effectively these are special characters running around, because, I mean, they kind of made that distinction early on, and it does make me sort of feel like, because they made that choice, and you have a bunch of people running around with these heavy weapons and with with shield generators and jump packs and stuff like that, that they should have made that distinction even more clear by having some AI like sport troops there too. And I know a lot of people
sort of like Titanfall has
exactly. And I know a lot of people were kind of sour on Titanfall for having them, and for good reason under a lot of points. But just as far as perfecting the look of everything, I think it would have really nailed it down, and it would have made it so the crazy customizations wouldn't have even mattered anymore. Just because it's, again, like Titanfall, the distinction was that you were a mech pilot versus just a regular, foot trooper.
Yeah.
And so... It just and makes sense that they'd be different.
That would fit so well, too, because, like, the Stormtroopers are such horrible shots.
Right,
so it would make, like, total sense that little dinky AIs in the map would be horrible shots. Like, hey, those are Stormtroopers, you know? Like,
yeah, and it's funny, too. I thought it was interesting that gunfire works completely different in this game. And it sort of encourages you to shoot your gun like a stormtrooper because it doesn't give you a gigantic benefit to aim down your sights with the game because you're wielding laser blasters or whatever.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have a gun with a ton of kick to it. You're not getting bonuses for actually aiming or crouching or doing any other like bracing yourself type of things. All you're really doing is putting yourself at a disadvantage by sitting and aiming because you're slowing yourself down, and you're going to get gunned down by a hail of laser blaster fire if you're slow. And so effectively, you end up, and it's what makes it really entertaining, too, as far as just watching what's happening on the maps, because you see this hail of laser fire going all over the place. Just like in the Star Wars movies, but it makes complete and total sense because it's everybody frantically trying to gun down people who are relatively quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be interested to know, too, your thoughts on, like, the... Speaking of the guns, like, were you... Did you find, like, a difference between a lot of them as far as, like...
I feel like they did kind of the standard Call of Duty thing where it's everything really has the same damage. It's just a slider, a couple of sliders that they tweak it for how fast it fires or how much damage it does with each hit. And I mean, normally I'd say that I probably would have been a much bigger fan of the Stormtrooper's blaster because it fires a little bit slower. But man, I sure had a lot of fun with that that giant, I forget what they call it, but it, the actual...
The like last kind of gun you
Yeah,
unlock.
It's like a DLT 90 or something like that, I think. But it's a German MG88 is what it is. But that thing, it just fires this hail of gunfire and it doesn't need to recharge anywhere near as often as a lot of the other guns do.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot weaker, but
because
but because you can see that hail of gunfire a lot better, especially if you're running around, it makes it a lot easier to zero in on troops.
Oh, okay.
And you have that extra little space of time that it's not like going into red where you have to swap out the battery pack. So yeah, it to me it's invaluable just having that tweak to the gun, even though it should be like a really watered down, like, oh, I can't believe they did this to something that's supposed to be a giant like mean gun. But it's really effective, so
yeah. I am kind of wondering too if this will like maybe cure myself or even others of the like fire a little bit in Call of Duty and then like instantly reload. Cause there's no, like I kept, when I was playing it for the first time, like I kept like wanting to hit some kind of reload button. I'm like, there's no reload in this. It's just, it's just you fire it, you know, and then if it overheats, then you got like a, there's a kind of a quick reload, like a, in Gears, there's like a little meter. And if you hit it just right, like if you, if, when it overheats, As it cools down, there's these tiny little slots, like they're like yellow like in the half circle or whatever it is.
Okay.
And if you hit the X button right in those, it instantly reloads your gun. So it's like a smart reload, kind of like in Gears.
So, I was wondering about that, and I wish that would have been spelled out a little bit more.
Yeah, because there were parts where, like, because I watched some people streaming it, and so that's kind of like where I found out about it.
Okay.
Because if you're just like doing it, on Xbox, the X pops up on there. And so you might just think like, oh, I'm supposed to hit the X.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't like hit it in that right spot, it overheats and it takes a little bit longer. And like it shows your character's model's hand and you have to wait longer for it to cool down.
Okay.
So it's like, it's a gamble. So if you miss it, it'll, you know,
but it rewards a little bit of extra skill.
Yeah, it'll add that extra time for you waiting. But if you get it just right, instant reload. So, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Instant new battery pack, whatever you want to call cooldown.
Uh huh.
But yeah. So, I got it a few times and missed it a few times. But it was when I nailed it, it was really handy because then like you know taking down people like if you can get them. It's weird that like. Sniper rifle card.
Uh-huh.
Like I was using that for a little bit, but then as soon as the jump pack came in, like I ditched that thing because it's funny. It's like that sniper rifle. Unless you get, I think it's like you have to get a headshot.
Pretty much, yeah.
If you want to take them out completely. Otherwise, it takes them down really low.
Oh yeah.
But it's definitely seems more of like a teamwork gun. You know, like if you hit somebody and then if your teammate or somebody takes them out, but if you're lone wolf, I found like, oh, just give me the jump pack.
It was super handy for me just because a lot of people were taking like real static positions.
Oh, okay.
And so it was really perfect for knocking out those guys because... They were still had like some decent cover and everything, but because they were trying to stay in that cover, they'd just have their head kind of stuck right there.
Uh-huh.
And so that gun was invaluable as far as that goes. So I kept it all the way through. And I never ended up getting the jump pack because I was saving for the big mean gun instead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I liked the jump pack because just... gotten used to like the more recent first person shooters, like just having like that mobility and that jump, like not having it anymore is like, ugh, this jump is worthless. Like I can't even get up on this rock thing. Like
that is true.
This is horrible.
There were a lot of places on that I think it was Sullust map that it seemed like you should be able to make the jump and you just couldn't, no matter how you tried to angle it or anything like that. It was like, okay, yeah, a jump pack would be handy now, especially since I did the horde mode thing effectively first.
Yeah.
So that gives you one.
Yeah, it gives you, yeah.
And it works really cool.
Speaking of really cool. Being an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have a limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With their help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I know, going back to the beta, I mean, we'll wrap it up just so, because I'm sure not everyone is interested in this.
No, like, everybody's riveted.
Move on, but...
They are locked down.
I think most people can pretty much agree that, like, you know, they nailed the sound and the atmosphere and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it feels like you're in Star Wars. I will say, though, I do wish, like, on the Walker map that, I mean, I'm sure this would be, I don't know. I don't know programming and development and that sort of thing, but it would have been really cool if, like, depending on the side you were on, they used like certain musical cues that are like, you know, famous from Star Wars. Cause like, there were parts where I was playing the Imperials and it would like kick in, like, I forget if it's like Luke's theme or it would, they'd kick
That's
in
true.
Something that was like totally rebellion, like yeah, the good guys, you know, type of thing. And like, it felt weird. Like I would have preferred, like if we were on the Imperial side and like they played when the Imperials did something well, like they played something Imperial related. Like, I guess it doesn't have to be the Imperial March, but you know, just use that as an example of like,
yeah, it would be nice if they would have put together a budget for kind of creating extra music. I think specifically for the Imperials, just because I don't think they have anywhere near as much like Imperial quote unquote music to begin with in any of the sagas or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So, if they would have figured out some extra stuff to string together for that, that would have been really nice.
Yeah. I don't know though. It's entirely possible that maybe when those things kicked in, that's when like Luke or Vader show up.
That's true too.
So, cause I don't know if that was the case, then that I like, that's something I would like. Cause I know in, what was it? Like using Call of Duty as an example,
right.
When, Predator or, Michael Myers would show up, like, they would play their theme or they'd play like music indicate like, that character's on the battlefield. Like maybe that's what's happening in the beta. If you know out there, you can let us know. But that would be cool. Like if it, you know, if it played the Imperial March when Vader came on the field, then you'd know like, and then like for everyone, then it'd be kind of like a cue like, whoa, Vader's, you know, just landed on the field or, oh, Luke just showed up. Like,
yeah. So much of it is just stuff that we don't know.
Yeah.
Just because we haven't played it all that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it did feel incoherent because of that, but that does make some sense if that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to ask you one last thing.
Okay.
Did you manage to pick up many of those little spinny special things, and if so, what was the best one that you got?
Well, let's see. I never got any of the Vader or Luke.
Okay.
I did pick up a TIE Interceptor, but like,
oh, okay.
I didn't get to. Okay, so when you pick up the blue little power up things, they're random.
Right.
Where you kind of see, and then there'll be anything from Vader to Luke all the way down to
a rocket launcher.
Yeah, rocket launcher, something like that. So previously, all the ones I'd picked up, they've been like static symbols as far as like a rocket launcher or a gun turret or, you know, binoculars that call in like an orbital strike.
That's
so
a good one.
yeah, especially on the drop zone one. Uh-huh. That was handy. But anyway, yeah, so I'd pick those up. So then I grabbed like, and I got one and it was like TIE Interceptor.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, okay. But then I noticed it had this meter that was like counting down. So it's like, oh, okay, so I have to wait for that thing to like countdown, then I can jump in.
Oh
no, it was the opposite. I have to like hit it in time within that meter, otherwise it goes away. So I was like, I guess I don't get to try the vehicle.
Oh,
yeah, unfortunately
harsh.
I didn't get any of the vehicles. I mostly got like gun turrets, rocket launcher,
okay,
the orbital strike thing. So
yeah, the best one I got was just a plain old TIE fighter.
Oh, okay.
And at first, when I was running around with it, it was like, oh, this thing's way too fast to do anything effectively with it. And it took me a while to figure out that I could slow it, like, way down.
Oh.
So it does just move at maybe 10 miles per hour or something like that. And then it was pretty mean.
Oh, okay.
it's pretty easy to gun people down with that.
How did it handle? Because, you know, I mean, this isn't a Battlefield game, but Battlefield is notorious for not having the best, most friendly flying controls for people.
It's still a hassle. Like, it was really touchy.
Okay.
So, I mean, I completely understand why they do it the way that they do it. It's so that people that can figure out and master it will have complete control of this awesome machine.
Mm.
But it does end up being a problem every single time. And it's one of the first things that I noticed when I was looking up YouTube stuff for the beta, was a lot of people were explaining how to use different things in the beta. And that was the one that came up really often, was how to use the starships in the beta. It was like, okay, well, I guess that problem hasn't really gone away. But then again, it didn't take me that long to figure out how to slow it down. It was just frustrating at first because I was about to write it off. Like, okay, well, it's their normal thing, but... But yeah, I mean, of course, it's a trade-off too. You slow it way down.
Then you
it didn't take long for me to get nailed by a missile launcher.
Yeah.
So.
Or just plain old blaster fire too.
Yeah.
But
for the little bit that I had it, it was nice. Like when I had it at full speed, I'd managed to nail the walker, or not the that would have been bad.
Yeah, I'll take the TAT. You're on our side.
I managed. What was it? Like some of the different turrets and so on that they have placed around that map.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were a little bit easier to tell. I kind of wish that Luke would have been on the battlefield because you could see him from a mile away.
Yeah.
But that would have been funny, too. Like, he parries a blaster bolt, like, straight back at the TIE fighter or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But... So, I guess, the thoughts overall, like, are you... Do you think it's something you'd be interested in?
Or? I'm still kind of torn because I know I feel like I'd probably play it forever because I get really enthusiastic about games, but I don't feel like it has the staying power for other people. And so I'm afraid that I'd be the only one playing it that I know, like, really quickly.
Oh, okay.
So that's the main thing I'm afraid of right now. And
yeah.
Once we know more about the Trident, like the actual true unlock system and everything, I'll probably feel a little bit more comfortable. But we're not going to know that until the day. So
yeah,
not going to pre-order it. That's okay. For sure.
Yeah, I wish it had either another mode or at least like another map or two on one of the modes, like maybe the drop zone one. Like that would have been nice to have like. Two or three maps on that one just because they're kind of smaller ones, but yeah, I it definitely nails that Star Wars feel.
Oh yeah,
like and
to me especially the sound was the main thing that really got it down, like when you fire that blaster and you actually like something you take for granted in Star Wars that makes no sense is like the ricochets of blaster shots. It's like lasers don't really do that. And I know a lot of people would be like, well, I guess not like real lasers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I mean, still there's a very specific like blaster ricochet sound that's really satisfying when you hear it in that game.
Yeah.
Just because, in just start to finish, you can hear the entire process of the gun charging, releasing the bolt of energy, hitting something else, and then going,
yeah.
It's just, oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just perfectly done as far as the sound goes.
Yeah, and then I think, too, for going to the with the atmosphere, like, if you pop in, especially, like, it's cool it has the battlefield thing of, you know, being able to spawn on your partner.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
But if you can start off, like, inside those, like, bases on the rebel side and, like, kind of going through, like, the tunnels there and, like, just the vehicles parked and the gun turrets, like, if you can kind of start or at least spawn a couple times, like, in there, like, it's just cool, like... That feeling, you know,
yeah.
It's like straight out of the movie, and
that
then,
was
then
really
going
good.
Outside and just seeing the trenches and all the white, you know.
The one last, I think, one of my golden, like, examples of something happening in that game was they had one of the hangars, and that was I was playing as the rebels, and right at that moment, the other side got a Darth Vader.
Oh,
and so
okay.
Darth Vader just comes like walking straight in the door, like taking blasts like it's nothing. Just like throwing people all over the place. Oh man. It was so brutal and beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just perfect distilled Star Wars.
Yeah, it makes me, since they nailed that so well, like it makes me real excited to see how they handle the Endor moon.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just, you know, because it'll be a complete shift, like foresty green and stuff. It's like, if they can nail that snow looking so awesome, like, you imagine the forest?
The
like,
speeders are the speeder bikes are what I'm looking forward to in that.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
I totally agree. Oh, I need to hit the Caleb button. Interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think
space.
Yeah, space. DARPA, space. Interesting. The Caleb button.
Oh yeah.
Caleb buttons.
We'll have to make them for each of us.
Yeah, that's true.
We haven't figured out what yours are yet.
No.
I probably need a DARPA one of my own too.
Okay.
Like drones.
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, 3D printing.
Yeah. Well, you have to ask. It's like nicknames. You can't like come up with one yourself.
You really someone shouldn't. Else. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So when Caleb gets back, then we have to find out from him, okay, what are the buttons we need for Jason and and Joe? So
that sounds like a plan.
Yes. Agree. Interesting. I think that's enough geek talk for now.
We've probably covered
a couple
that
other
well.
Little things in there, but yeah. we've talked enough. I think it's time for a music break. But before that, if you want to participate on the show, if you played the Star Wars Battlefront beta, I don't care if it was on PC, PS4, Xbox One, whatever. If you had a chance to play, do you agree with anything we said? Tell us. You had some cool moments.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to? Are you going to pre-order it? Are you going to get it? Or did the beta change your mind? Did you be like, nope, not going to get it anymore?
Yeah. Shoot us your opinions.
Shoot us your opinions. And you can do that. You can tweet us at Robots Attack Me, or you can go to our Facebook page and search Robots Attack and, you know, comment on there. You can even email us, ye old email, especially since, you know, if 140 characters isn't enough that you want to yeah. fit that Star Wars beta talk, I can totally understand that. You can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And of course, you know, do all those things for the rest of the show when we get into the news and everything like that. But yep.
Our lines are always open.
Yes. But before all of that, here on KSEU Santa Clara, we're going to take a music break, and then we'll come back with some new releases and some news.
Sweet.
All right. See you in a bit.
Celebrate the great and almighty Gord at the world-famous Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 17th and 18th. It's 2 days of magical autumn splendor in the World Pumpkin Capital. Catch the Great Pumpkin Parade on Saturday, October 17th at 12 noon. Enjoy festive food and drink, harvest-inspired crafts, and 3 stages of smashing entertainment. Delight in expert pumpkin carving, a bone-chilling haunted house, tasty pumpkin pie, photos with the Grand Champion Mega Gord, fun-filled contests, and Monster Pumpkins galore. The Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, October 17th and 18th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Historic Main Street. Admission is free. For more information, call 650-726-9652 or visit miramarevents.com.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We've got some new releases for the week. I will start us off with some movies in the theater. We've got A Ballerina's Tale. Feature documentary on African-American ballerina Misty Copeland that examines her prodigious rise, her potentially career-ending injury, alongside themes of race and body image in the elite ballet world. We also have Bridge of Spies. Bridge of Spies tells the story of James Donovan, played by Tom Hanks, a Brooklyn lawyer who finds himself thrust into the center of the Cold War when the CIA sends him on the near-impossible task to negotiate the release of a captured American U-2 pilot. We have Crimson Peak. In the aftermath of a family tragedy, an aspiring author is torn between love for her childhood friend and the temptation of a mysterious outsider. Trying to escape the ghosts of her past, she is swept away to a house that breathes, bleeds, and remembers.
Guillermo del Toro flick.
Yep. And the previous one was Spielberg, I believe. So
Oh, wow.
Spielberg and Del Toro week.
Dang.
And then we have Goosebumps. Upset about moving from a big city to a small town, teenager Zach Cooper finds a silver lining when he meets the beautiful girl Hannah, living right next door. But every silver lining has a cloud. And Zach's comes when he learns that Hannah has a mysterious dad who is revealed to be R.L. Stein, played by Jack Black, the author of the best-selling Goosebumps series. It turns out that there is a reason why Stein is so strange. He is a prisoner of his own imagination. The monsters that his books made famous are real, and Stein protects his readers by keeping them locked up in their books.
Hmm.
And then we have The Assassin. 9th century China, 10-year-old general's daughter. I wish Jay were here so I could ask him how to pronounce this name correctly, because I'm probably going to butcher it.
I'd guess it's Nie.
Nie. Ninyang?
Probably close enough.
Ninyang? Yeah. Is abducted by a nun who initiates her into the martial arts, transforming her into an exceptional assassin charged with eliminating cruel and corrupt local governors. One day, having failed in a task, she is sent back by her mistress to the land of her birth, with orders to kill the man to whom she was promised, a cousin who now leads the largest military region in North China. After 13 years of exile, the young woman must confront her parents, her memories, and her long-repressed feelings. Then we move over to the magical world of DVDs with Dope. A trio of geeky and awkward high school boys go on the misadventure of a lifetime when they are invited to a mysterious underground party. We also have San Andreas, not the video game. What if the big one were to actually come like the doomsayers claim it would? This is a central event in which a search and rescue helicopter pilot must team up with his estranged wife to save their only daughter. I hear it is technically bunk, but it is fun to watch. That is a quote from Caleb. We have Tomorrowland. A high school girl dreams of a gleaming, beautiful world out there. Future where a journey to the stars is but the beginning. But the reality isn't nearly as true. Or could it be?
Dum, dum, dum.
And we have Ghost in the Shell. Arise, Borders, Disc 3 and 4 of 4.
Whoa.
The last two parts of the origin of the Major. The story is about her first real case as part of the military's police's special forces. It also sheds light onto the mysterious beginnings of Section 5's lead investigator.
Okay, next up we have video games. And this is one of those video games that caught everybody completely off guard, and I think is still continuing to catch people off guard, and that is Minecraft Story Mode. It's a Telltale Games series. Coming on the 13th, it's coming to everything that you can possibly imagine, namely PC, Mac, Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4, PS3, iOS, and Wii U, as well as Vita. Because nobody is really taking it seriously, it sounds like all of the reviewers and developers are kind of having fun taking pot shots at it. I kind of hope that Telltale knocks it out of the park and does something really exceptional with it. I know they have the potential of doing that.
Yeah.
So, also in the Telltale realm, we have Back to the Future, the game of the 30th anniversary edition, also coming out on the 13th, also coming out on practically everything. next up, we have Dragon Quest Heroes, the World Tree's Woe and Blight Below. They like the rhyming.
Yeah.
It's basically all of your favorite Dragon Quest characters with epic, over-the-top, over-the-shoulder, hack-and-slash type feel to it. So, Dynasty Warriors Part 42 or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Next up, we have Wasteland 2. This time it's the director's cut. It revisits the fan favorite and spiritual precursor to the Fallout series, coming to consoles for PS4 and Xbox One, also on the 13th. And I'm guessing this one is a big one for you, The Witcher Hearts of Stone, also coming out on the 13th. I miswrote there. I have PC and Mac, but of course it's also coming to the consoles. It's already receiving almost flawless reviews from everybody.
That's good.
If not flawless.
good.
Next up, we have, I'm guessing also important to you, the Jackbox Party Pack number 2.
Oh, that's releasing this week, huh?
Yeah, also on the 13th. Dang, everything's out on the 13th. Either that or I went crazy with cut and paste.
Everything.
Right. I think I got it right, though. PS4, Xbox One, PC, and PS3.
Oh.
And that'll wrap up video games for now.
Nice.
Next up, we have comics. In the realm of DC, we have Batman number 45. Batman is nearly taken out, and Gordon must give some heavy thought to what it means to wear the cape and cowl. And next up in Marvel, we have Spider-Gwen number 1. Spider-Woman thought that the reign of the Lizard ended in her arms.
Oh.
But a creature with a similar MO has appeared in the sewers of New York. Questions and doubt run as deep as Gwen untangles this mystery. This issue also ushers in the Osborn legacy here on Earth 65. Next up, we have In the Dark Horse Realm, Eve Valkyrie number 1. The spaceborne universe of Eve Online has many legends, not the least of which is Valkyrie, the most elite fighter squadron. This series leads up the release of the game by the same title. Next up, we have Image, Walking Dead number 147. Just buy it. Everybody knows it's going to be more of the same, which is good. So I don't know. I'm just going to say it anyway. Survivors out in the open is the description. But okay. I know it doesn't matter. Just you're going to get
well,
it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not saying for you to go
right.
And do that.
No, just, it's yeah. just...
Because we're not allowed to do that.
We know it's popular.
Yeah.
Okay, next up we have I Hate Fairyland number 1.
Whoa, what did Fairyland do to you?
I don't know.
Caleb must really hate Fairyland.
Apparently this is really important to Scotty Young. Debuts as a brand new solo production. Gert is in the magical world of Fairyland, and she's stuck there for 30 years. Now she's more than ready to go home, and with her trusty battle axe, she's going to get there. It's Fairy Tale meets Tank Girl with a healthy dose of Deadpool-esque mayhem. So yeah, probably not for the kids so much, but it sounds like fun. Lastly, we have IDW Publishing with Jim and the Holograms. I've heard nothing but good things about this.
Mm.
I've been really kind of tempted to pick it up myself, even though I'd feel really awkward. Anyway, in the brilliant glow of the spotlight and the hard light holograms, Jerrica Benton and her sisters shine. But what does it mean to be Jim? ?
Listen more. Exciting stories. All right, I will wrap us up with some Muzak. Just a couple things. Let me scroll back up here. Okay, we've got Fading Frontier by Deer Hunter, the 7th full-length studio release for the Atlanta indie rock band, was produced with Ben H. Allen III. And we have The Color Before the Sun by Coheed and Cambria, the 8th full-length studio release for the alternative/progressive rock band. It is its first not tied to the Sanchez's conceptual Amori Wars story.
Hmm.
There you go. If you understand what that meant, you understand what that meant.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. All right. So I'll do it for some new releases. Shall we tease the folks some news?
Sure. Why not? The UK has some very serious thoughts on hoverboards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's a hoverboard.
I'm not saying which one.
Okay. We've talked about hoverboards past couple weeks.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll have to add that to the list maybe for stuff.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's probably going to disappear relatively quickly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
'Tis the season.
Yes. All right. We'll take another quick music break and then come back with the news. With Robot Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here in KSU Santa Clara. Let us step into
news.
So yes, the UK with their there are different policies on things than here in the United States, and their general fear of technology. I don't really have anything to prove that they're afraid of technology other than this story right here. And that is that if you're familiar with what a hoverboard is, it's not what you're thinking. It's not an actual, like, floaty thing.
Oh.
Because the actual company that made a branded thing called a hoverboard, it's just the mini Segway thing that has, like, two wheels on either side of your feet. But it is gaining some popularity because it is a pretty simple, neat little machine. Unfortunately, the UK is not so happy with it, apparently, because they decreed that hoverboards are illegal in the UK.
Oh, no.
I know. It's sad. Now, they did this in a roundabout sort of way. They said that, oh, well, it's perfectly legal. It's just that it is a motor vehicle, so you have to be licensed for it. Which, okay. It's a little bit weird, but I'll get a license for it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it doesn't qualify to be a licensed vehicle.
Okay.
So effectively, it's just illegal.
Wow.
But yeah, what the government has assured people is that they're not going to go after people using it in their own personal areas, as well as spaces that are actually set aside specifically for it. But it could cause some legal problems if you are using one around people who do not like them. Because they are technically illegal.
Illegal. Ah, look at him. He's breaking the law.
Yeah. So
you can have that playing while you're writing it.
So yeah, if you were afraid that I was going to say that the Marty McFly style hoverboard was going to be illegal in the UK, I can almost 100% assure that it will be, since they're afraid of this little thing with two wheels that goes 2 miles per hour.
I guess we'll have to wait and see, since the future lied to us.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Like, the first story that I heard about this thing, I guess, was it Wiz Khalifa, I think, was arrested in an airport for trying to use one in an airport.
Oh, okay.
And he was, like, physically wrestled to the ground.
Wow.
Because he was trying to use this thing. And if you've ever seen one, they're so tiny. I don't know why anybody would be afraid of the thing. It's literally just so you don't have to just walk a little tiny bit. They're not, like, crazy fast or anything like that. They're just kind of neat. That's all. Anyway.
Well, here's something that's more than kind of neat. If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And, of course, a pro tip, search KSU, not 103.3 FM.
Yes. Letters are much more friendly for searchability than numbers, because numbers exist all over the place. I mean, that, numbers are a dime a dozen.
Oh, that they are. Speaking of dimes.
I know that probably sounded numberist. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's
I'm
okay.
Sorry, numbers. It's not me. It's the world we live in, numbers.
Oh, man. There was a TV show, wasn't there, called Numbers or something?
And it probably celebrated numbers.
Probably.
But unfortunately, it's dead and gone. Sorry, numbers again.
Maybe somewhere in syndication. But so going back to speaking of dimes.
Yes.
I think Microsoft just dumped a whole lot of dimes on its purchase of Havok.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, Microsoft purchased the company known for its fantastic physics in video games. The Xbox publisher purchased it from Intel. They explained that it's part... stop moving. Okay. That this is part of building the most complete cloud service. Quote, Microsoft's acquisition of Havok continues our tradition of empowering developers, providing them with the tools to unleash their creativity to the world. Company's corporate article reads, we will continue to innovate for the benefit of development partners. Part of this innovation will include building the most complete cloud service, which we've just started to show through games like Crackdown 3. To give you a little example, Havok was used recently for Destiny, Mortal Kombat X, Dark Souls 2, and Watch Dogs. So, of course, you know, boom, you hear Microsoft acquiring Havoc. That's used in video games. Boom, Microsoft makes the Xbox. So immediately everyone goes crazy and thinks, oh no, does that mean that Havoc will not appear in anything that isn't Xbox branded or possibly PC? Of course not.
No.
They even came out and said it's going to be available. It's like, yes, Microsoft wants to stop making money.
That's, we've decided to be anti-money.
Yes.
It's that's like, our new way of doing things.
Acquiring Minecraft. Nope, we're just going to stop people giving us money in other places.
That was so weird too, like everybody they're just gonna like can Minecraft, they're gonna ruin it, they're not gonna do anything with it, just shelve it.
Yep, that's
just gonna sit it on the technology shelf like it was some like gem of technology that they needed to create some super weapon or something like that.
Yeah, it's just like, yep, we want to spend all this money
right
so we can then just stop it giving making us money for us. We're just gonna stop
right
throw it away
and just disappoint people, you know.
Yes, that's what we do. But,
well, to a point.
Yeah.
But.
But yes, fear not. In fact, you know, this will be awesome, I think, for especially the cloud thing they were talking about. If they can now have
that's true
direct acts, you know, it's like, hey, we own this, so we can directly affect this, and you know, having it be a part of our cloud system that we're building for.
I'm sure it's going to improve things.
Yes.
For the Xbox experience, and that's probably why they had it targeted. But yeah, they're not going to.
Yeah, it's not going to mean that there won't be Havoc games on the PS4.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah. So there you go.
Next up, we go to a crazy heady time back in 1977. Way back then, California was very interested in trying to secure a lot of ways to help knock down smog and so on, because cars were getting to be a problem with spewing a bunch of things, especially in big cities like LA and whatnot. And so they cracked down on a lot of little motors, mostly two-stroke things, which unfortunately meant that powered skateboards were outlawed.
Oh, man, everything's getting outlawed.
Right. Well, this is back in 1977, so yeah.
Smog gets a bad rap.
It's really helpful for stopping all of the UV light from burning us alive.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
That's a way to spin it.
Anyway, other than that, so basically back then it was a fear because these were, this sounds weird, these were dirty little engines that they were putting on these skateboards, because it was a two-stroke engine like they put on like a weed whacker or something like that.
So
to have one functioning for prolonged amounts of time, it was not only very noisy, but it was distasteful as far as the huge puff of smoke that was coming out of them.
Yeah.
So yes, outlawed back in 1977 here in our grand state of California, but with technology improving and things like the lithium-based battery coming out, you can start making some pretty cool things. So, powered skateboards are back on the menu.
Oh, they're back.
Yes. Apparently, just today, Governor Jerry Brown signed an Assembly Bill 604, which, again, makes riding powered skateboards, specifically in the bike lane, legal. So, yeah.
Now we wait and see if there's any accidents.
More accidents. That's true. It sounds like it has all of the same laws as a bicycle would have. So you're still supposed to helmet up and everything like that.
That's good.
But yeah, it's still not like a speed demon of a thing or anything like that. Batteries do have limits.
No hoverboard.
Right. It's no hoverboard, and they don't have like the wheels from the Acura motorcycle strapped to the thing. So yeah, it's not going absolutely crazy quite yet.
So you think
I'm sure they'll probably outlaw them again in another couple of years.
Do you think they'll be out? They're outlawed in UK. You think?
I would almost guarantee they're outlawed in the UK because it has wheels and
it's true.
You know,
that's true.
Other than cars and tractors, you know, you got to outlaw it in the UK. It's just the way things are. Well, I'm sorry, UK, if you're listening right now. Yeah. I know we're being a bit moody.
It's not our fault. It's because maybe the Terminator franchise has been terminated.
Oh.
Before Terminator Genisys opened, David Ellison's Skydance Productions stated their intentions to create a Terminator universe inspired by the Marvel Cinematic Universe that would include two sequels to Genisys and a tie-in TV series.
Oh, wow.
But after Terminator Genisys took in only $89 million in North America, the future of the franchise is in doubt.
It's so weird to talk about an amount like that. It's like, it was only... I understand it probably cost more than that, but still.
Yeah. Okay. Story's frozen.
The story doesn't like to be told. That's how hard we work for our stories here.
It did very well in China, but apparently maybe not enough.
Okay.
But I don't really remember the rest of the story. I think they were saying stuff about like no, it might not still be dead, but oh wait.
Oh, is it?
No.
No.
It moved for like a second.
Oh.
Okay, stop. Okay, here we go. No, I don't want to
wrestling with the machine.
Yes. The machine doesn't want to. Okay, no. What'd you? Okay. All right, here we go. Okay. Because Terminator Genisys had a budget of $150 million and a marketing budget that was likely equal to or greater than that, it reportedly lost money. And the fact that China gets to keep 75% of the films take in that country means that the producers and studio only received $28 million from the $112 total.
Okay.
So, but, you know, even before that, the Terminator franchise was struggling. You know,
yeah.
They were trying to figure out, like, you know, the Salvation didn't do super well, and then there was a TV series, but that got canceled, and then, you know, it was James Cameron was off doing other stuff, so it was like he wasn't really attached to it much anymore. So
he's never gonna do anything that people want him to do ever again. I don't think.
Yeah, there was something. Yeah, there was something about like. I remember the rights. Yeah, okay. The Terminator rights will revert back to director James Cameron in 2019. So that's one of the, I guess if you want to look at a glimmer of hope of maybe more, because if they don't make any more, like before then, the rights will go back to James Cameron. And like we stated, James Cameron is off making Avatars. He's making a bunch of other stuff. So he probably won't, you know, be making any Terminator related things anymore for quite some time, if ever again.
Yeah. And I'd be really interested to see what he'd make if he did a Terminator movie at this point, just because everything he does is very like socially conscious in one area or another. So I don't know if he was trying to say that we should be afraid of machines, that they're going to take over the world the first time around. I have a feeling he was just having fun with it, but maybe.
It's possible. But yeah, so you have it's kind of like, in a way, it's kind of like the Fantastic Four situation where even though that movie, you know, apparently wasn't very good, didn't make very much money and all that stuff, like there's still a chance that they'll make more just because like they have the rights to them. Like they might, you know, if they don't make any more, then the rights get reverted back to someone else. And so it's like there's no chance. But when you're dealing with all the right stuff and everything, it's like,
yeah,
it can take things that you may love and not treat them so well or something. But,
and yeah. Slowly choke them to death.
Yeah.
Okay, if you remember my stories from last week, which you better, because I'm watching. I'm taking notes.
DARPA.
Right.
Space.
You may have heard me mention that Destiny is getting some upgrades. And that's another good button right there, just the Destiny button.
Yeah. What you been playing? I've been playing Destiny.
Right. Namely, they're getting microtransactions. And fortunately, they're microtransactions that don't directly affect how powerful the characters are in any given way. So that's nice. But people aren't 100% happy. Well, I dare you to watch this video that I'm trying to get you to link to and not be happy, because they released about 5 of these emotes for people to be able to check out, and they released them through some of their top streamers of the game, and I think they're pretty spectacular. A lot of people are calling them a little bit cliche, and yeah, they are, because it is a video game. You have to kind of play that a little bit. But yeah, some of the trademark ones are, first you have a very impassioned, like, come at me, bro, like thump on the chest, and like,
oh, okay.
And
okay.
Then there's the like calmly standing and doing the, and this was credited by a lot of people to The Matrix, but it's also old kung fu movies. The like standing and holding out the arm and just ushering motioning with your fingertips, like, come on. Next, they have one that people have called like a Darth Vader going no in. The final prequel movie.
No.
But to me, it looks almost perfectly, like, down to the second for each little individual quirk to it. It's the what's in the box moment.
Oh.
Anyway, if you're not familiar with that, look it up on the internet. I'm sure it will provide you with plenty more. But yeah, they've basically teased that they're going to release a lot more of these. So if you have a bunch of your favorite YouTubers out there, go and hit up their individual sites, because they were apparently released, almost all of them, for people to be able to check out if you collect them all on the internet. Of course, they're releasing tomorrow, so you don't have to wait long.
Wow.
But if you need them now,
need them right now,
hit up your YouTubers.
Oh, okay. Well, here's something you should do. I don't know if I can really force you to do it, but okay. It's a PSA.
Okay.
And it's a good PSA. Yes. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Okay, so my next story involves this gigantic video game that was kickstarted, or I don't know if it's still...
Is it Shenmue?
No, not that one. This one, Star Citizen. Have you heard of
this? Oh, right. Yes.
Like massive amounts of money. Well,
yes.
We found out where some of that money's going.
Okay. Impress me.
Straight into the pockets. No, I'm just kidding. That's awesome.
I'm impressed.
One sentence. There you go. The cast of Star Citizens. Oh, for the love of God. My phone just does not like me tonight.
Dang.
I don't know what it is. Is it the stories I opened? Are they like, no?
It probably is.
Let's see. I'll try and do it from over here, because although I can't look at Jason when I'm doing this, but...
I'll just emote behind you.
Oh, okay. Just laugh.
I'm doing the what's in the box right now.
What's in the box? Okay, well, apparently the cast of Star Citizen's single-player component, Squadron 42, stars the likes of Mark Hamill, Gary Oldman, Gillian Anderson, and more.
Ooh.
Cloud Imperium announced during CitizenCon 2015, which was past weekend. A bevy of actors led their likenesses and voices to the space simulation, with Gary Oldman playing Admiral Bishop, the first Squadron 42 character officially revealed. The trio joined other cast members, Andy Serkis, of course, Ben Mendelsohn, Mark Strong, Harry Treadway, Jack Houston, John Rhys-Davies, and more.
Ooh. John Rhys-Davies.
Yeah, the article has like the opening cinematic for the Squadron 42 and the behind-the-scenes motion capture footage.
Cool.
And the CitizenCon presentation. Other aspects of the game's ongoing development is outlined in the recent September Monthly Studio Report. But yeah, because this thing's like... Yeah, the Space Simulator's crowdfunding total currently sits at $92 million.
That's so crazy.
And remains the most backed crowdfunding project ever.
I'm still... That baffles me.
Yeah.
Completely and totally. I'm glad they got some good actors, and I love Gary Oldman.
At least like, now you know where some of that money's
almost
going.
Almost to a creepy level.
At least now you know where some of that money's going.
It's true.
So
it's
like,
true.
What are they doing all that? Well, they're hiring some actors.
Can you imagine that? They're just like, what do we want to pay these actors? Well, let's get some good ones. Just toss like $5 million at them a piece or something like that. That'll be worth it, right? We got the money.
We got it.
We got the money. Make it rain.
Does it rain in space?
Right. If it rains in space, can you hear it? I don't know.
Feel
something
it.
Like that. Okay.
Believe it.
Next up, we have a study that isn't your typical, like, boo, video games are bad study.
Oh.
I know. It's kind of nice. Well, that wasn't.
Yeah. No, I want the ones that video games are bad. Those are my favorite.
Okay. Now that I think about it, okay. This is not for you then. I guess it is to a point because it's not 100% positive.
Oh.
But it does point to the fact that video games do not necessarily rot your brain. I know that's like reaching back to like the 80s view of video games. But, I mean, it's still prevailing in some circles. So, this study does provide evidence that games do improve brain function, but it does say that you need to have very specific types of video games to actually improve any sort of function. Like, the study shows that attention, generally... is actually helped by games like RTSs. Basically, because you do have to concentrate a little bit more on stuff like that. Cognitive
makes
flexibility
sense.
Works a lot better with things like Portal 2, which makes sense because you have to figure things out a little bit more. But the most interesting thing to me, as well as to the people in the article, was that... this big movement of games that are all for brain training and trying to get you to think a little bit more through fun little tasks, specifically the Dr. Kawashima's brain training series.
Oh, right.
As well as a bevy of others. They apparently don't help you at all. All of the benefits that you would have gotten from the training are negated by the entertainment, like them turning it into an entertainment thing. And so it doesn't actually benefit you. Anyway, so some bad news, but other good news. But it sounds like basically from what I can tell from this, you have to have dedicated to one specific type of video game in order to get any of the benefits from that specific type of video game. And possibly it's like the switch-up type of things also that don't necessarily help you all that much with a brain training type of game.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, if you want to improve your short-term memory, I forget what they had here.
So kids, tell your mom, like, just throw those games out.
Right.
Right?
But yeah, it looks like an article that I need to read all the way through instead of reading somebody else's take on it, because apparently they have a breakdown of specific games that do help.
Okay, help.
Specific types of things. So it's pretty neat.
Nice. Well, speaking of neat things, hopefully this works. Okay, so far so good. I actually saw this. You spoke of getting back to being able to watch CNN earlier in the show, right?
Yes.
Well, this story...
Like the old man I am.
Well, this story, I originally saw a clip on CNN during Fareed Zakaria's GPS show.
Okay.
It's about... The giant rats that are sniffing out landmines.
Oh, wow.
A Belgian nonprofit...
On purpose?
A Belgian nonprofit has found African giant pouched rats are much better at detecting TNT than people or dogs.
Huh.
African giant pouched rats, huge cat-sized rodents, native to Central Africa.
Yeah.
Have bad vision, but an extraordinary sense of smell.
Makes sense.
This makes them perfect candidates for discovering hidden landmines by sniffing out the explosive TNT. Even decades after conflict, explosive remnants of war linger in the earth, maiming and killing thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Stumble across them each year. In 2013, mines and other buried explosive cause over 3,300 casualties worldwide, down from 4,300 in 2012, according to the 2014 Landmine Monitor Report. Sad we have to have a Landmine Monitor Report.
Yeah.
But maybe with these rats, they can get rid of them. Finding these hidden explosives is challenging and dangerous. People with metal detectors not only risk their lives, they work slowly, stopping to investigate every suspicious ping. Trained dogs, while commonly used, are expensive and tough to transport. Enter APOPO. I don't know if there's like some sort of way of saying it. A poo-poo, a popo. I don't know. But it's It's a Belgian nonprofit that has created an army of TNT sniffing African giant pouched rats. These critters are light enough to walk
it
over.
It sounds
the mines.
Like it should be an evil plan or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like.
But it's the opposite.
No, that's the thing. They're like trying to make it look like it's a good thing, but really they're training an army of giant rats.
These critters are light enough to walk over the mines without setting them off and use their noses to find the explosives quickly. One rat can search over 2,000 square feet in 20 minutes, an area that could take a human up to 4 days. The APOPO training manager... Abdullah Ramadan says in an email, since it was founded in 1997, these furry super sniffers have helped clear over 13,000 mines from minefields in Tanzania, Mozambique, Angola, and most recently in Cambodia. So there you go.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
Giant rats helping the world and people. Yeah, the article has a picture so you can kind of see what they...
I'm not sure I want to see.
What they look like. just see.
Oh, they're cuter than I thought.
Yeah.
And they don't look like rats at all. They look like some sort of...
Not so much, yeah. I mean, it's like...
Like a lemur thing or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you could... It's definitely got the rat-like characteristics, but it's not like...
It's like low. It's got the basic body shape, but it's way cuter.
Yeah.
Anybody who believes that rats are cute to begin with, that's fine. I'm not trying to
say you're
horribly wrong. I was at one point a rat owner myself.
Oh, okay. So you're actually allowed to... have an opinion on it.
I don't know. The way the world works these days, I'm not sure if I'm really allowed to.
That's true. Okay, well, I will wrap up our show unless there was anything else.
No.
Okay.
I'm done.
I will wrap us up with this day in history, and hopefully the past couple times. They've been pretty positive. Hopefully it's not just a turn for the worse. But
we'll try and put a decent spin on them at the very least.
This day in history, 1492, Columbus landed in present-day Bahamas.
Oh, wow. It's that day.
Yep.
That's right. Huh.
Then we have...
That makes sense.
Oh, I should clarify just in case you're listening to this in the future or later.
Right.
This is this day in history for October 12th. We have 1870, General Robert E. Lee died in Lexington, Virginia at age 63. Then we jump to the 60s.
I guess for some people that's a yay, but I mean...
We jump to 1960, Soviet Premier Nikolai Khrushchev created a disturbance at the UN General Assembly by pounding his desk with his shoe.
Oh.
Then four years later, the Soviets launch Voskhod 1, the first space capsule to carry three people into orbit.
Okay.
Then we jump to 1999. We're gonna party because it's 1999.
Oh, man. I remember that night, too. Oh, yep. Geez. Okay. Moving on.
NBA Hall of Famer Wilt Chamberlain died at his Bel Air home at age 63.
That's right. We did hear about that like the next morning.
And then 1 year later, in the year 2000, 17 U.S. sailors killed with a terrorist attack on the USS Cole in Yemen.
Oh, that's when that happened. Okay.
And then 2 years later, in 2002, a bomb destroyed a nightclub in Bali, killing 202, mostly tourists. That's, so not a lot of positive stuff in this week's day in history. But
I don't have a good positive spin on that. Maybe if they had those rats,
it's true.
Things would have been different.
Maybe.
Well, see, we need to... bring back the Terminator, like all of the time travel stuff from that.
Okay.
And which I'm sure James Cameron has full access to.
Yes.
Which is how he's made his fortune, obviously.
Well, of course.
Right. And we just send loads of these trained rats into the past.
Okay.
To fill every corner of society.
Whoa, okay.
And they could both be used for in sniffing out explosives, and they'd be a nice little meal source for the world.
Okay.
You know? See, problem solved. Wow. We solved world hunger and bombs.
Yep.
With the help of James Cameron right here on the radio show.
Oh, man. Yep. Right here on KSCU Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Right here.
All we need is time travel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No biggie.
We got that.
Once you get James Cameron on board.
Yep. And then get Jean-Claude Van Damme. He'll be the time cop. He'll make sure everything goes smoothly. Make sure
no one
abuses. Yeah. That's time cop
too. The rodents were from Belgium, right? It's perfect.
Yeah, the Belgium nonprofit. Yeah, there you go.
Man. Yeah,
it's circular here
on
Robots Tech.
Perfectly.
Yep. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show tonight. On behalf of myself and Jason Moore, thank you for listening. We'll be back, hopefully with all three of us, next week from 7 to 9.
Yeah.
And we'll find out what happened with Caleb. And you'll find out. And we'll do our first review for the watch party, our new brand new watch party.
Right.
Episodes 1 and 2 of Dirty Pair, so it's not too late. You can watch them if you want and participate. We felt like, you know, since Caleb picked it, we wanted to hold off on doing it, you know, especially with the first two episodes, you know, wait for him to be here when we're talking about it. So
to kick it off right.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it. Remember, you can always go to robotsattack.me to find our previous shows and links to our Twitter and Facebook page and all that stuff. So,
or participate with the watch party by watching the first couple episodes of Dirty Perry, I believe available for free on Hulu.
Yeah, so, or wherever else you can
manage to dredge it up.
To. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it. Take it easy and have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Raccoon, Veronica, Misto.